and a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. Well, for anybody that has followed me for any significant period of time, you know that I'm not a BSer. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. Republicans got their asses handed to them across the country in North Carolina in the city of Wilmington last night. Not going to sugarcoat it. Not going to put some rosy-colored glasses on it. I've already seen this morning the reaction from people on social media, from individuals, just one post in particular. Some guy I follow on X said, Democrats talked about Democrats' approval rating is so low that they are now celebrating wins in blue states, LOL. That kind of attitude, that kind of mindset is going to get the Republicans killed in 2026. Plain and simple. If you cannot objectively look at last night as a failure for Republicans, then you are going to allow the exact same thing to happen in 2026. Plain and simple. Now, there's a lot to get into. We'll get into all of it. We'll break down everything that's going on. One of the things that I will continue to say is that every election is unique. Every election is like capturing lightning in a bottle. Yes, there are some things that hold over. There are some things that are consistent. But for the most part, every single election is incredibly unique. So let's jump into it here within the city of Wilmington and take a look at what went on last night. And looking at the top of the ticket for mayor in Wilmington, Bill Saffa will continue to be the mayor. He is the longest serving mayor in the city and will continue in that position going forward after a strong election night victory for him, pulling in 49.2% of the vote. Republican Billy Craig pulling in 30% of the vote. And thankfully, Jonathan Barfield, who hopefully his political career is said and done moving forward, got his ass absolutely handed to him, pulling out just over 5,000 votes, less than 20% of the vote. So a Democrat, Bill Saffa, will continue as the mayor within the city of Wilmington. On the city council front, no other way to describe it than absolutely brutal. This is now the second election cycle in a row, 2023 and now 2025, that Republicans have gotten swept. And with these two back-to-back sweeps, there is now not a single Republican on the Wilmington City Council. There is not a single individual to push back on what is coming. And if you are a resident in the city of Wilmington, I'm sorry for you, because things are not going to be heading in a right direction. With Democrats exclusive control now, with radicals on the city council like Jakima Clinton-Quintana, Cassidy Santaguita, you are going to see the city of Wilmington move far left very quickly. I made the point yesterday, and it's not exaggeration. I stand by it. Wilmington, as it looks right now, is set to become the next Asheville, the next Durham, the next Raleigh, the next Charlotte. Pick your liberal progressive city that you want and replace it with Wilmington. It's the exact same situation. Democrats are running the roost now within the city of Wilmington. Incumbent candidate Luke Waddell falling about 900 votes short of re-election. Richard Collier, another Republican, had a pretty good night, 9,300 votes. Fell short. Clifford Barnett, who is currently on the Wilmington City Council, is currently the mayor pro tem, a Democrat, was completely shafted by the New Hanover County Democrat Party. He pulled out just over 6,600 votes. Kelly Roberts, another Republican, 6,500 votes. And then Sean Guerrero, who announced that he was running, then dropped out of the race seemingly before it started. Not sure why the hell he decided to run in the first place, picked up 777 votes. And so with that, you have got now a full 7-0 majority board controlled by Democrats in the Wilmington City Council. Taxes will continue to go up. Money will continue to be pissed away on stupid pet projects. You are going to see, I would suspect, based on who's currently on the council right now. You've got David Joyner. You've got Kevin Spears. You've got Celette Andrews. And now welcoming on Chiquima Clinton-Quintana, who, by the way, I mean, I'm shocked that she won. I really am. She performed so incredibly poor in every single public appearance that she had. I'm shocked with these results. I really am. I didn't think Republicans were going to do overly well. The city of Wilmington, every single day that goes by, more and more Democrats are moving in. More the voting strength for Democrats gets stronger day in and day out. I didn't think Democrats were going to clean sweep. I really thought Councilman Luke Waddell was going to squeak by in that third spot. It just didn't happen. Part of it is because Republicans just didn't show up. They didn't show up. I don't know if that's complacency coming out of the successful general election that Republicans had 1 year ago, back in November of 2024. I don't know if it's just a lack of care from Republicans within the city. Well, there are plenty of them. And if they showed up, there was a strong likelihood that Luke, Richard, and Kelly would have won if they showed up. But they didn't. They decided to sit home, sit on their hands, and now they are going to have to pay the price for what's coming in the city of Wilmington. And it's not going to be fun, I can promise you that. It is not going to be a good time. If you are a taxpayer in the city of Wilmington, you're screwed. Plain and simple. It is going to get a lot worse before it has any chance to get better. And this morning I was on the radio over in Charlotte on WBT, where I host the Carolina Journal News Hour at 5 a.m. And, I mean, similar situation over there. Republicans got freaking killed. Vi Lyles, who is the current mayor in Charlotte, who has handled the murder of Aretha Zaruska terribly, won with 70% of the vote. Republicans in the sixth district seat in the city of Charlotte, which was previously held by Tark Bakari. It's been a strong Republican seat. Democrats won that one. One of the incumbent Republicans in Edwin Peacock got his ass absolutely handed to him, lost by 11 percentage points. It was just a brutal, terrible night for Republicans. And it wasn't just North Carolina. It was all across the country. We'll talk about Virginia. We'll talk about Jersey. We'll talk about New York City. All hell's set to break loose there. Prop 50 passed in California. Just a really, really bad night for Republicans. All up and down the ballot. I mean, even in Wrightsville Beach, I was looking at this a little bit earlier. Hank Miller, who's been on the board of aldermen for a significant period of time, he lost. Todd Schoen is a radical progressive Democrat. He is now on the board of aldermen in Wrightsville Beach. Just a very interesting election results. Incumbents all across the country just got killed. Just did not perform. And so while some, as I mentioned, are going to try and sugarcoat this, you are not going to find me sitting in some sort of ridiculous. I mean, this is the post I'm talking about. I typically like this guy's postings on X. But when he writes, Democrats' approval rating is so low that they're celebrating wins in blue states. What the hell are you talking about? I mean, can you be any more disconnected from what just happened last night? They should be celebrating wins, and it wasn't just in blue states. Democrats had a phenomenal night electorally. All across, I mean, looking across the state of North Carolina, and I will admit I'm on a relatively little sleep this morning. I am I'm a little groggy. I'll be the first to admit that. But looking across the state and what I've been able to gather, I mean, Republicans didn't win anywhere. I mean, even in towns and small municipalities where Republicans have had success, they got freaking blown out. I mean, I found one seat in Wake County, in the town of, I think it was Zebulon or Wendell, where a Republican won an at-large seat. Everywhere else, they got killed. And it is, a couple of things that probably lead into this. This is a situation where there is absolutely some level of complacency. You had a very resounding success for Republicans 12 months ago. Now, the same way that I'm not going to sugarcoat the way that Democrats had a great night, I'm not going to sugarcoat the fact that Republicans had a barn burner election in November of last year. I mean, Republican or Democrats can try and sugarcoat what happened in 2024, and I'd give them the same response that I'd give Republicans this morning. November of 2024 was a really, really bad night for Democrats, the same way that last night and into this morning was a really, really bad night for Republicans. So there's absolutely some level of complacency. And, you know, you look at where Republicans have had success in municipal elections, you have to go all the way back to 2021, 4 years ago, and look at the situation that was happening in 2021. You had Joe Biden in the Oval Office. You were still in some parts in the midst of COVID-19. You still have lockdowns, mask mandates, businesses being closed. It was a really screwed up time. And so that was able to give Republicans some level of success in those elections. That's when Luke Waddell was successful in winning his seat on the Wilmington City Council. Those dynamics don't exist right now. And we've been talking about issues like tariffs. We've been talking about issues like the economy. Those are continuing to have an impact on American voters. And whether it's a Republican or a Democrat in office, people, I think, are, in large part, are looking for some level of change. Now, I have bad news for those in the city of Wilmington. For all of the transplants, of which I am one, but for all of the transplants that bitch and complain about development, that bitch and complain about traffic, and bitch and complain about growth, congratulations on the candidates you voted for. You are going to see apartment complexes pop up out of freaking nowhere under the individuals that you just supported. J.C. Lyle's a nice lady. She will approve every single zoning request that comes in front of that city council. And you will likely see the exact same thing from Cassidy and Cassidy Santa Guida, and Chiquima won't have any idea what's going on anyway, so I'm sure she'll vote in favor of it. So congratulations for all the folks in River Lights and all of these other areas that were dogging on Republicans because you moved here 3 months ago and you're pissed off about infrastructure, you're pissed off about apartments, you're pissed off about traffic. Congratulations. You've just blown both of your feet off. You didn't shoot yourself in the foot. You stepped on a freaking hand grenade. So congratulations on your success down there. Bravo. The growth is coming. It's not going anywhere. There's nobody to hold the tide on it now. So bravo, congratulations, good work for all of you, for all of the growth and development folks around Wilmington. Just get ready for what's about to happen. Congratulations on not standing with the Republicans and allowing what the Democrats are going to do. So bravo, hat tip to you this morning. God, it's the most frustrating thing in the world. I haven't lived here all my life. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I did. It is just so unbelievably ironic to listen to people that live in River Lights who have been in Wilmington 4 years bitch about how too many people are moving here. We got to slow down construction. Look in the mirror. I mean, you are part of the problem. You literally are the problem. You moved here 4 years ago. You moved here 2 years ago. You are living in a brand new housing community. You're living in a brand new condo complex. You're living in a brand new apartment system. And you're going to complain about growth and development? Give me a break. There's just no consistency with the argument at all. And I was having this conversation last night at an election watch party. I don't know when we move on from this issue of growth. I mean, it has controlled every single election now going back to 2022. And it is something that it seemingly is the only issue that anybody cares about. Nobody, I would argue both Republicans and Democrats, don't have a good answer for it because government can't stop growth. We live in a free country. People are allowed to move wherever they want. Now, can government have an impact? Sure. Can government not rezone and approve every single project? Sure. But with that, you don't get to decide whether somebody lives in the city of Wilmington or not. You don't get that choice. It's just, it's insane. And so where do we go from here? Looking at the city of Wilmington and the results, I'm not ready to completely throw in the towel on the city of Wilmington. I think that there is a possibility that if city council governs in the way in which I think they probably will, which will be a far left agenda, that Republicans would have the ability in 2 years to pick up a seat or two. They're not going to get the majority, of course, in one election. But I think there's a possibility for that to happen. But it's very, very close. And it's why I mentioned Asheville, Durham, Raleigh, Charlotte. I mean, these are places now where being a Republican on the ballot in a municipal election is a death sentence. I mean, you literally cannot win. It's just impossible. There's not enough votes. And again, I'm not ready to say that full. I'm not ready to give a full-throated endorsement of that yet, because I do think that there is still some time. Fortunately for the city of Wilmington, it is a relatively small geographical area. So there is the possibility, there is time for things to change. And, you know, the old saying is it has to get worse before it gets better. And you might see that beginning later this year and into early next year when the new council is sworn in, and see how they govern, see how they act. See, you know, over the last couple of months, we have seen radical progressives, you know, making their way and making their voice heard at the Wilmington City Council meetings. I played the clips for you. You've heard these people. They're showing up. They're energized. They're engaged. And again, part of it makes sense. Republicans just had a massive election victory 1 year ago. Democrats are pissed off. They should be pissed off. Everything that they have fought for at the national level is crumbling in front of their very eyes. All of their, you know, platitudes, all of their wish list items, all of their agenda is just being absolutely ripped apart in Washington, D.C. And so there's no question about it. That activates voters. That activates a voting base. That activates a group of individuals to show up and vote. And it would appear blatantly obvious that based on the results, not just in the city of Wilmington, but in Charlotte, in and around Wake County, in Cabarrus County, I mean, I was just looking all over the state. It just was not a good night for Republicans. The opposition party had a great success. It's not that they ran necessarily the best candidates. It's not that Democrats had the best ideas. They're activated. They're pissed off. The government is shut down. I mean, we'll look at Virginia coming up here in a couple of minutes. You know, everything that's going on there right now is absolutely helping Democrats continue to push these things forward. And so, as I mentioned, I'm not ready to give it up yet. I think there is a possibility heading into 2027, depending on the candidates and who decides to run, that a couple of seats are picked off. It's hard to hold a majority. Wilmington, and when I say Wilmington, understand that I'm talking about the city, right? I have a Wilmington mailing address. I don't live in the city of Wilmington. But when I say Wilmington, we're talking about city proper. That there is a possibility that there are some successes 2 years from now, 4 years from now, where a couple of those seats can be carved off. I mean, things ebb and flow. I mean, you've gone through periods of time locally where you've had, for example, the New Hanover County Board of Education, almost completely controlled by Democrats. Now there's a Republican majority, 5 Republicans, 2 Democrats. Seen similar things with the New Hanover County Commission, a Democrat majority there. Now Republicans have got it 3-2. So these things do ebb and flow. The concern for me is now this is 2 election cycles in a row in which Republicans have just not shown up for municipal elections. And I've got the data here from the State Board of Elections looking at some of the vote totals. I mean, they're terrible. I mean, you've got voter turnout at 26%. There's 103,000 people that are eligible to vote in the city of Wilmington elections, and less than 28,000 of them showed up. Why don't people care? Maybe it's not bad enough yet. Go back to one of my favorite political anecdotes from Rudy Giuliani, when he had a couple of unsuccessful mayoral bids in New York City. It was bad, but it wasn't bad enough. And maybe, unfortunately, as somebody that lives in this community, spends a lot of time in the city of Wilmington, maybe it has to get bad. Maybe it has to get worse before it gets better. I mean, that is something that is a real possibility. That is something that Republicans are going to have to ask themselves, depending on how this city council governs. And I, again, don't believe that they are going to govern in a way in which the vast majority of the community is going to agree with it. But if Republicans within the municipality don't bother getting off their ass and voting, then this is the result. Plain and simple. This is now two election cycles where Republicans have gotten their asses handed to them. Blatantly. I mean, this race was not close. There was a point in time last night where the vote difference between the third and fourth vote getter, between Shaquem Clinton-Quinton and Luke Waddell, was like 1,100 votes. That's a huge margin in an election where 11,000 votes wins you a seat. In this case, you know, little less than 11,000 votes can win you a seat. That is a huge margin. It's like you're talking about almost 10%. And part of it is people just didn't bother showing up to vote. Got a couple of questions coming in our Rumble live chat this morning. Democrats moan about prices at nauseam, yet the Democrats were the one voting for a 33% tax increase in Wilmington. Republicans kept it at 11. Make it make sense. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I can't make it make sense because it doesn't. And that is, you know, part of what is going to be interesting to watch now with the Wilmington City Council. Is all of the individuals that are constantly griping and moaning about prices, constantly griping and moaning about how unaffordable Wilmington is, griping and moaning about traffic and too many apartment complexes and too much infrastructure and blah, 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 blah. Just the same washed over, ridiculous talking points over and over again. They're going to get the complete and exact opposite of what they support with this city council. I can guarantee it. There is nobody to bring this group back to the middle. This is what is about to leave my mouth is probably the craziest thing I've ever said. All right, you ready for this? Bill Saffo is now the only one on that city council that can pull that group back to the middle. Bill Saffo, 20-year Democrat on the city council, 20-year mayor in the city of Wilmington. He is the only one on that council. But we'll have to see how JC governs. But he is likely to be the only one to try and pull this group back to the middle. And he's not going to have success in doing so. I think Bill's a nice guy, but he can't battle Sillette. He can't battle David Joyner. He's not going to be able to battle Shaquem Clinton-Quintana or Kevin Spears. He doesn't have the political willpower to do it. He doesn't have the votes to do it. And so it's just going to be really, really interesting to see what happens in the city of Wilmington. Disappointing is probably an understatement to describe the night last night, but this hopefully is the wake-up call that Republicans need heading into next year. Elections aren't easy, elections aren't cheap, and elections aren't guaranteed. A lot of incumbents losing across the board last night, all across the state, and in other states as well. This stuff is not guaranteed. You can't sit on the sidelines. You can't post on Facebook or post on X and think that you're having an impact. You know, this is something that I think Republicans, unfortunately, had a similar situation unfold in the 2020 elections. They were complacent with Trump in the Oval Office. They were complacent with Republicans. They didn't bother to get engaged. They didn't bother to get involved. They thought spending their time standing on the side of the road waving a flag was going to drive Donald Trump to victory. Lo and behold, he lost. And so while these results suck, while I'm incredibly pissed off with what happened in the city of Wilmington last night, while I'm pissed off with what happened in Wrightsville Beach and some of our other municipalities, Charlotte, this is an opportunity to not sulk over it, Not you know, necessarily point fingers. Oh, it's these person's fault. What? This is an opportunity right now, 12 months ahead of the 2026 midterm elections, to take a hard look in the mirror, figure out how to talk to voters, figure out how to meet them where they are, and convince them that we have the best ideas. And the reality is we do. We do typically, for the most part, have better ideas on how to handle issues. The question is, how do we convince voters to do so? Or how do we convince voters to support us in those ideas? Another question coming in on our Rumble live chat, Nick, is this a sign that Trump's agenda is so disliked? You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not ready to make that determination one way or the other. I think there's a lot going on in the country right now. You've got a government shutdown. Is now the second longest or first longest in history. You've got a lot of people that are being fear-mongered by the media, by those on the left. Here's the reality of it. No president ever has a very high approval rating when they're in office, right? Everybody loves to point the finger at the man in charge and blame them for what's going on. Whether it's Joe Biden, Barack Obama, or Trump, Bush, I mean, it doesn't matter. You point the finger at the guy that's in charge and it's their fault, regardless of whether they have any control over it at all. The question again, is Trump's agenda so disliked? I don't know that it's disliked, but I think and I'm not going to call it a miscalculation, but I've mentioned this before specifically with tariffs. And you see from the administration, they're continue putting out their, we've raised $600 billion in money coming in from tariffs. I'm going to be frankly honest with you folks. That shit doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know how to be any more blatant about it. It doesn't matter. What matters is what people are paying at the store. What matters is what people are seeing price-wise when they shop on Amazon. Great. I'm glad the administration brought in $600 billion worth of tariffs. Has it lowered prices for the American consumer? The answer is no. The deficit continues to balloon, spending continues to be out of control, and the American economy continues to suffer. And who suffers the most when there's economic issues? It's the lower class and the lower middle class. I mean, that's who continues to suffer. So is this a rebuke on Trump's agenda? I don't think so. I think long-term, some of the things that he has planned probably pay off. The question has always been, and you've heard me say this a million times at this point, but I think it bears repeating this morning. Do American voters, does the American middle class have the stamina, the mental fortitude, and the pure economic ability to wait out some of these issues? I don't know that the answer to that question is yes. And if they do not have the ability to wait those things out, then yes, they are going to go against and stand up against Trump's agenda. I don't know that, again, that it's necessarily disliked, but this is the unfortunate reality of government. People want immediate results, immediate action. And the reality is that doesn't happen. I mean, Christ, look at the homeless ordinance that we talked about here over the last couple of months. What did it take? 3 city council meetings across 3 months to pass it, to change a couple of words? Now, take that and exacerbate it up in Washington, D.C. It takes forever to get anything done. People want immediate results, especially when they're hurting financially. And it's hard to get those immediate results. So at this point in time, I'm not prepared and I'm not ready to say one way or the other whether this the results last night are a rebuke of Donald Trump's agenda. It's possible that they are, but I think it's also possible that it was not. I'm not ready. I'm not at a point in time where I'm ready to say definitively one way or the other that, oh yes, this is definitely the case. One of the points I'll make, we'll grab a break and then look at some of these other elections across the country. The party in charge always tends to not fare very well in elections. I mean, it's just the way that it is. It's why midterms are typically so successful for the party not in charge. That's just the way that it is. Again, people want immediate results. When something's not going well, they want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So they go, okay, we're going to vote for Democrats. And so it's going to be interesting to see if these results that we saw last night, again, not good for Republicans, pretty much all up and down the ballot, not just in the city of Wilmington, but all over the place, if these results translate for the Democrats heading into 2026. So a disappointing night. Can't change the results. They're in at this point. There will be a process known as the county canvass where any outstanding ballots will be dealt with. However, there are not going to be enough votes withstanding to flip any of these results, at least within the city of Wilmington. So this election is over. And so you have two options, really. You can either sulk, bury your head and say it's all over, throw up your hands and say it's gone, or you figure out, okay, yep, we got our asses kicked. Nobody likes that. What do we do to get ready for next year? Now, the election's in less than 12 months. So you've got about 8 months to get this stuff figured out. And so that's the question that Republicans and conservatives have to ask themselves this morning. What do we do to get in front of these voters? What do we do to have some level of electoral victory, which is going to be tough next year? I mean, the reality is it's a midterm election with a Republican in the White House, Republicans controlling the Senate, and Republicans controlling the House. It is going to be a tough election cycle, no question about it. What can be done in the next 8 months to get some victories and hold off what the left wants to usher in? That's the million-dollar question. We will take a look at what happened in Virginia, New Jersey, and New York. The results not inherently surprising, but some of these margins are way out of control. Plus, Zohran Mamdani, with his success in New York, did speak last night. I know you probably don't want to listen to it, but I think you need to. I'll have some audio from him coming up as well as the Nick Craig Show rolls on this post-election, post-mortem edition. I want to do a thank and head on over and thank our great advertisers that make this show possible day in and day out. That includes the Law Group here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the Law Group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com, 910-251-6088, or lawgroupnc.com. I want to thank Melissa Gott and her amazing team over at the Law Group. Experience and dedication you can rely on. We'll grab a quick break, go around the nation, still get to some of your comments and questions coming in as well as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Wednesday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show as we continue our coverage of election night 2025, a rough night for Republicans all across the country. Recapping what we saw here across North Carolina in the city of Wilmington, a bloodbath for Republicans in the city council. This is the second election in a row in which Democrats just had a huge outpouring of support and huge wins at the polls. We're now going to zoom out a little bit, step across the nation, and take a look at what went on in Virginia. While this race was not supposed to be very close, it turned out it was not at all. Taking a look at the election results coming in from Decision Desk HQ, Abigail Spanberger, who is the Democrat candidate running in the Virginia gubernatorial election, a good night for her, 57.5% of the vote. Winston Earls Sears, the current Republican lieutenant governor in the state of Virginia, the Republican candidate, not a good night for her, 42.5% of the vote. So you're looking at about a 15 percentage point difference there between those two candidates, and that lines up very well with what the polling looked like beforehand. These were the results, the Real Clear Politics average leading into the night. It looked like it was going to be a 10-pointed plus advantage for Spanberger, and that is exactly what happened, a little overperforming in some of the polls there, at least from the average. So a good night for Democrats in the state of Virginia, even with the controversy in some of the other races. For example, the AG race, I mean, this is a blowout. Jay Jones, who is the Democrat who had text messages leaked about wanting to shoot and kill Republican kids, didn't matter for voters in Virginia, with him winning with 53.2% of the vote. The Republican challenger, 46.8%. One thing I will note about Virginia, and I think this is an important piece of the puzzle to mention, you've got a lot, and I mean a lot, of federal workers, people in and around the federal government in the state of Virginia. They are beyond pissed off as to what's happening right now in Washington, D.C. You have got a lot of folks that live in Virginia. And while Virginia doesn't have party registration like North Carolina does, there's no registered Republicans and registered Democrats. There's something, I mean, the Democrats outnumber Republicans like 2 or 3 to 1. So, I mean, it's a very tough state. Again, you saw Glenn Youngkin win that election back 4 years ago. He did it with, you know, unique circumstances that existed. Government shutdown or government shutting down businesses, mask mandates, vaccine mandates, the school choice movement, and some of the things going on in Virginia. He was able to take some of those issues and parlay them into a very successful election night in the last 4 years. But now Virginia, with, again, all of the federal employees that live in the state, that is gone. You've got a Democrat in the AG's office, you've got a Democrat governor, and you've got a Democrat lieutenant governor, and of course, their state legislature exclusively controlled by Democrats. So you are going to see a very far-left move in the state of Virginia. They've tried to get a lot done, that being the Democrats, over the last 4 years. And fortunately, Republican Glenn Youngkin was able to hold off a lot of that. But that wall has now cracked. That is gone. And so Democrats are going to move the state of Virginia very far to the left. A lot of that will be a rebuke of the Trump administration, partially and in large part due to the closeness to Washington, D.C. Part of it, so many of the federal workers that work in the district or work with the federal government that are living in a state like Virginia. So a good comment coming in our Rumble, all the conservative things that Youngkin did will get reversed. Absolutely. And this, you know, race was not expected to be close. I thought the AG race that we were just looking at, I thought this race was going to be a little bit closer. Polling indicated that it was going to be, but the end result was it wasn't. And the Democrats had a major night in the state of Virginia. Now going over to New Jersey, this was not even close, folks. I mean, Miki Schiarelli absolutely annihilated Jack Citarelli in this race. Citarelli only lost to Democrat Governor Phil Murphy by 3 percentage points 2 years ago. It was either 2 or 4 years. I don't know what their election cycle is. But last time he ran, he only lost by 3 points. He got absolutely hammered this cycle. 13 percentage point gap. And this was way off from what the polling looked like. This was the Real Clear Politics average for this race heading into last night, and it showed about a 3 percentage point gap. And you can look at some of this polling, just, you know, the average, and some of these polls leading in. Even a good poll for Cheryl was +7. She ended up winning by 13 percentage points. So this was not a night for Jack Citarelli and Republicans in New Jersey. And when you look at the state breakdown, southern New Jersey is supposed to be a solid area for Republicans. You pretty much have this line that's supposed to be drawn around the Trenton area. North Jersey tends to lean a little bit more left. South Jersey tends to lean a little bit more red. And that obviously did not happen. I mean, Citarelli got his ass handed to him in some of these counties where he should have been not only more competitive, but should have had major election victories. This was a state that Donald Trump made major gains in 2024. I think he lost by only 6 percentage points. When you say, wow, 6 is a lot, and it is, but there was no campaigning in New Jersey. The Trump campaign did not spend any money in New Jersey. And so with that, it was a state that seemingly was getting a lot closer in its elections. However, it just did not happen last night. Jack Citarelli getting absolutely annihilated in the election for the governor of New Jersey. And then before we head on over to New York, here is Prop 50. This is what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. Prop 50 is to break the norm in California and allow the legislature, which, surprise, surprise, is controlled by Democrats, to redraw congressional districts, likely drawing 5 more seats for Democrats in the state of California. This passed overwhelmingly. 63.8% of the voters in California supporting it, only 36% against. You are going to see what everybody has been talking about, which is Democrats picking up 4 to 5 more House seats in Congress from the state of California. It's part of the reason why North Carolina redrew its maps to give Republicans that additional, at least one more seat advantage. And I think there's going to be a lot of calls, and there should be, from the administration in other states like South Carolina, our neighbors right below us, to do the same thing. If you have a Republican-led legislature, you got to hold this off. You got to you got to hold this stuff off. And so Prop 50, successful night for Democrats in California. For all of the complaining about redistricting that we saw here in North Carolina, I am positive that mum will be the word when this begins in California in the coming days. They won't have anything to say. The screaming, the calls for the end of the world over redistricting in North Carolina, you won't hear jack squat when California does it and 50 and five seats that Republicans hold are gone. You won't hear a word about it at all. So we'll watch that. And then finally, good old New York, New York. Zohran Mamdani, the self-described Democrat socialist. He said as much last night in his election victory speech. An outstanding victory for him. Over 1 million votes, 50.6%. Governor, former Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo with a 41.7% of the vote. Republican Curtis Sliwa with 7% of the vote. A lot of the discussion here was that Sliwa needed to drop out and endorse Cuomo. Even if it happened, folks, it wouldn't have mattered. The margin in this race is 9 percentage points between Cuomo and Mamdani. Sliwa drops out, still doesn't get Cuomo anywhere. I mean, it gets him closer, sure, but Mamdani still wins. And when you looked at the polling, this is the only thing in terms of polling that seemed interesting. Obviously, the Jersey race was a blowout, but Mamdani was supposed to win by and should have won by a lot more in the state of New York. I mean, his polling average was almost 15%. Had this Atlas Intel poll not come in, only having Mamdani plus 5, he was well over 15% in his average. Maybe even close to 20. He only ended up winning by 9 percentage points. I say only, but only winning by 9 percentage points. So the polling in New York City definitely, I don't know if it oversampled Democrats, but it was off by a pretty significant margin. To go from, you know, 17% advantage in polling to only a 9% victory, yes, a win is still a win, not taking that away at all. But that's a pretty big miss polling. Oh, very similar to what we saw in Jersey, just on the opposite side. And so Mamdani took to the stage last night, speaking to his voters. I'm not going to play the whole 30 minutes of Mamdani speaking, but you need to listen to part of this. You need to hear what is coming for New York City. He is not afraid to say it. He is proud to say what he is going to do. This is an interesting one. Here is the mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani in New York City last night.
So hear me, President Trump, when I say this. To get to any of us, you will have to get through all of us. When we enter City Hall in 58 days, expectations will be high. We will meet them. A great New Yorker once said that while you campaign in poetry, you govern in prose. If that must be true, let the prose we write still rhyme and let us build a shining city for all. And we must chart a new path, as bold as the one we have already traveled. After all, the conventional wisdom would tell you that I am far from the perfect candidate.
Oh, really?
I am young, despite my best efforts to grow older. I am Muslim.
Welcome to London. Yep. Welcome to London. Go look at what's been going on over there over the last 10 years. Welcome to that in New York City. Great work, folks.
Socialists.
Unabashed. Completely unabashed.
Most damning of all, I refuse to apologize for any of this. And yet, if tonight teaches us anything, it is that convention has held us back. We have bowed at the altar of caution and we have paid a mighty price. Too many working people cannot recognize themselves in our party. And too many among us have turned to the right for answers to why they've been left behind. We will leave mediocrity in our past. No longer will we have to open a history book for proof that Democrats can dare to be great. Our greatness will be anything but abstract. It will be felt by every rent-stabilized tenant who wakes up on the first of every month. Knowing the amount they're going to pay hasn't soared since the month before. It will be felt by each grandparent who can afford to stay in the home they have worked for and whose grandchildren live nearby because the cost of childcare didn't send them to Long Island. It will be felt by the single mother who is safe on her commute and whose bus runs fast enough that she doesn't have to rush school drop-off to make it to work on time. And it will be felt when New Yorkers open their newspapers in the morning and read headlines of success, not scandal. Most of all, it will be felt by each New Yorker when the city they love finally loves them back. Together, New York, we're going to freeze the... Together, New York, we're going to make buses fast and
free.
Together, New York, we're going to deliver universal. Let the words we've spoken together, the dreams we've dreamt together, become the agenda we deliver together. New York, this power, it's yours. This city belongs to you. Thank you.
I mean, what do you say? I'll give him credit. He's unabashed. He's not hiding. He's not stepping around the things that he should or shouldn't be saying. It's all out there for everybody to hear. And this is going to be a real test to watch unfold in New York City. It is going to be fascinating to see what the Mamdani effect is moving forward. I mean, he said it in his speech. I'm a proud Muslim. I'm a proud Democrat socialist. Rent is going to be controlled. Buses are going to be free. Universal health care for everybody, whether you're in the country legally or not. Some comments coming in on our Rumble live chat. Some puking emojis. It's important to listen to. I watched it in its entirety last night, and I'm glad that I did. And while it's might be a little rough on the stomach to listen to, I'll throw the link to it in our show notes over at patreon.com/NickCraig. You need to listen to this stuff. You need to hear what is being said. You need to understand the messaging that is rolling out from people like Zohran Mamdani. And it is going to be a fascinating political experiment here, and unfortunately it is an experiment to watch. Is this what American voters want? Is this what Democrats and progressives want? And we'll see, does Mamdani have success with these policies? I think they're unbelievably stupid. They're completely impractical, and none of them are sustainable for any significant period of time. But in the short term, is it successful? In the short term, do we talk about how buses are free and fast and how that's the greatest thing that's ever happened? Probably. That's going to be the messaging coming out of New York. And so it's just going to be very interesting. And the point that I made in this race was long done for some time. This is not an upset. This was not something that was unexpected. This was what was going to happen in New York. I mean, the ballot was a mess. Eric Adams is a jackass. Governor Cuomo killed a bunch of old people during COVID. Spends vast majority of his time in Connecticut, not even in New York. Curtis Slee was a good guy. There's just not enough Republican votes. I mean, they handed this race to Zohran Mamdani. The best that they could field was a former disgraced governor of New York State. somebody that everybody hates in New York. You can guarantee, and I know for a fact, having spoken to some people in New York yesterday, they were plugging their nose walking into a voting booth voting for Andrew Cuomo. They wanted nothing to do with Cuomo, but they didn't have a choice because Democrats, or because there's just the candidates on the ballots just didn't work. Sliwa would have been a great mayor. There's just not enough Republican votes for him. So I'm glad he ran. I think he pushed some issues forward. But he never had a snowball's chance in hell of winning, especially with Cuomo being in the race. There wasn't a pathway for him at all. And vice versa, Curtis Sliwa being in the race, I don't think hampered Cuomo at all. I mean, I'll pull the results up again so we can look at them. I mean, it didn't matter. Yeah, closer, sure, but it still would have been Mamdani with over 1 million votes. It was one of the largest turnouts in New York City. So there's going to be a lot to follow here. You heard him talk about the Trump administration. You heard him say that, you know, you're going to have to go through me if you want to go through, you're going to have to go through me if you want to get to the people. So it's just going to be interesting to see how that battle plays out. And this goes one of two ways. Some of you might be saying, okay, thanks, Captain Obvious. But this goes one of two ways. Either Zohran Mamdani has and brings a huge amount of enthusiasm to Democrats across the country, and we see the rise in more of these kinds of candidates in Congress, in other cities and states across the nation, or this completely blows up in the face of the Democrats. You know, like a Tom and Jerry cartoon. You pull the trigger on the gun and it backfires and shoots you in the face. It goes one of two ways. My gut reaction, my gut impression is that this probably blows up in the Democrats' face. These ideas are not widely popular. New York City has got Democrats that are so much, I mean, the Democrats just outnumber Republicans like 5 or 6 to 1. I mean, it's not even close. So it's a hard place for a Republican to win at all. I mean, you think it's bad in the city of Wilmington, you think it's bad in Charlotte. It's not even a contest in New York City. And so I think as these ideas start permeating out of the mayor's mansion later this year, when Mamdani, who is moving from a rent-controlled apartment into a completely subsidized apartment paid for by the taxpayers in the city of New York, a little irony there, of course, we'll see. Does this help or does this hurt Democrats in the midterm elections? Remains to be seen, but we move on. Elections can be good and elections can be bad. We've seen it. If you're a Republican, we've had good elections. If you're a Democrat, you've had good elections, and both parties have had bad elections. So the question is, what do you do moving forward? Again, for the city of Wilmington, there's all this talk about development and overdevelopment. I'm just so sick of it. Republicans, they don't have the answers on development. And the Democrats do. I mean, Democrats talking about how we need more taxpayer-subsidized affordable housing is the answer. I mean, I just don't buy it. I just think it's a lame excuse. It absolutely is an important issue that's driving the election, sure. But to say that Republicans don't have the answers to it and Democrats do is just not accurate at all. Tell me how J.C. Lyle, Cassidy Santaguita, or Chiquima Clinton-Quintana have the answer to overdevelopment. I mean, just give me one example. You can't, because it doesn't exist. Everybody puppets the same thing. The development and overdevelopment discussion itself is incredibly stupid. Anybody that complains about it has probably not been here more than 5 years. We're a growing area. Growth is good. Does it need to be managed? Sure. Would it be better if some of our intersections were better? Absolutely. Sure. I'm not in disagreement on that. I live here too. But to act like any single candidate or one political party has the answer for overdevelopment in a free country where anybody can move wherever the hell they want makes no sense. You don't have any control over that. I mean, you can be on the side of decay. People don't want to move to areas that suck. For example, you're not going to see a lot of people moving into New York City, is my guess, over the next couple of years. People will be evacuating that state. I saw a thing this morning on X that property values and places like Florida and Texas are likely to start skyrocketing as middle-class New Yorkers try and find some safe haven elsewhere. They can't go to Jersey. Jersey's screwed. They have some of the highest electricity costs and property taxes anywhere in the country. They're moving south. They're moving to North Carolina. They're moving to South Carolina. They're moving to Florida. They're moving to Texas, Tennessee, Kentucky. Unfortunately, some of them are bringing their terrible policies with them, which is absolutely putting Republicans in a really tough spot. So we move on. No point in crying. No point of revisionist history. Yes, reflect, sure, but you got to move on from it. We've got a very, very set of important elections coming to the state of North Carolina next year, including a Senate race, county commission seats here in Wilmington, school board races, the General Assembly. Those are important races. So strap in, get involved. I'm already seeing people that do nothing with politics besides sow division and divide saying, oh, well, it's time for people to wake up. Oh, yeah, time to wake up from the individuals that do nothing, from the individuals that post on Facebook, have their blogs where they pretend to be some acclaimed author. Tell me more about how your involvement is helping anything at all. Give me a freaking break. People don't build anything. They don't provide anything. They don't provide anything of use. They just sow and divide. So to hell with them. We'll leave you guys in the dust. You're on the losing side of every issue. So enjoy it. But we gotta build on it. Figure out how to retool. Figure out how to fix and discuss some of the important issues with the American voting population and move forward. That's all you can do. So tough night for Republicans. We'll continue the analysis. We'll continue to look at the results, see what we can break down as the county canvass wraps up here in a couple of weeks. We will get we'll get a better idea as to what some of the numbers look like. Turnout was not good for Republicans, and it will be interesting to see if people show up and say why. So we'll keep an eye on all of those details moving forward, and appreciate everybody that got out and voted. Appreciate our candidates. Not easy to run. Luke Waddell, Richard Collier, Kelly Roberts, Billy Craig. It's not easy to run. It's not easy to be in elected office. It's not easy to have your name on a ballot. Those guys did great work, ran phenomenal campaigns, obviously not getting the results that they wanted, sure. But they ran hard, good, solid campaigns. Voters just didn't show up. So that's it. We'll keep our eye on this and, of course, a lot of attention on New York City moving forward as we watch a literal Democrat socialist move into the office there. Well, a lot going on this morning, only possible thanks to our great advertisers, Melissa Gott and the Law Group here in Wilmington. Give them a call, 910-251-6088. Or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. The Nick Craig Show streams live weekday mornings, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. We're back here tomorrow morning for The Nick Craig Show.